Hi, everyone. It's Dr. Denise. This is the Dr. Denise Show. This is the Creative Mind series. And I'm so honored to have award-winning film director and producer Bill Bennett here tonight. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you, Denise.
Well, you're actually all across the globe, so it's actually good day to you, correct?
Good day. Yeah, that's right. We're, Crikey, what time is it? We're 12:30 in the afternoon.
In Australia, right?
A day ahead of you. So we know how the stock market's going to go. We know what horse races to bet on, all that stuff. Yeah.
Ooh, so gosh, you know, I've got my interconnection with you.
That's right. We should talk more often.
Oh, so I love the way people meet people, right? And I think recently you and I have been connected via social media on Instagram, but I was fortunate to watch the screening of PGS Intuition when you were here in the States.
Yeah. Yeah, the screenings in America went really well. I got to say, Denise, my partner and I attended pretty much all the screenings throughout America, and there was not one screening where people didn't clap at the end. As a filmmaker, I've made a lot of movies, and I've sat in on screenings, but that's never happened before. Every single screening, people clapped at the end. It was just amazing.
Okay. I have to do it now.
Right. No, that's over. Thank you. That was quick. Lovely talking to you, Denise.
Oh, my goodness.
Later, okay, out of here.
So I want to jump back to this amazing PGS Intuition later in this interview. But I was thinking, I was wondering if we could travel back in time. You have 40 years of being in the industry. And I'm wondering, I was thinking about, you know, I'm an adult and child integrative psychiatrist coupled with being, you know, a producer. And I thought, what was little Bill like? And I was wondering if you could go back in time and maybe share with us one of your like creative aha moments when you're like, this is what I'm going to do.
Oh, crikey. You know, I was sent by
my... Or if it's a series.
Say it again.
Or if it's a series of events, you know how there's just like synchronicities of what leads us on our creative path?
Well, my brother, who's 18 months younger than me, sent me, he lives in another state. He sent me, he'd been going through some old photographs that he'd dug up somewhere, and he sent me a photograph of myself when I was about 5 years old. And I had an old Kodak camera around my neck when I was 5 years old, and I was taking photographs. And I thought, my God, you know, at that age, I was interested in images and photography. And then the other
By the way, isn't that fun when you think about Bill, what are we going to do to have fun? Bill, what are we going to do to play? Bill, what am I going to do that's like exciting? And just to think of you with that camera at five is like really fun.
Around about that time, my brother had a birthday. I was probably about six at this point. He's 18 months younger than me. He had a birthday. And he was carrying the cake out from the kitchen. My mother had made a birthday cake. He was carrying the cake out from the kitchen. And something happened, and he dropped the cake on the floor just before it got to the dining table. Anyway, he picked the cake up, and the cake was a mess, and he put it back on the plate. And I happened to have a camera with me at the time, and I took this photo of him looking down at this broken cake, verging on tears. And I must have been six or seven when I took that photo. And it was, I tell you what, Cartier Bresson could not have taken a better photo, Denise.
Oh, my goodness.
It just captured the moment absolutely exquisitely. I was so young, you know, it was just an instinctive kind of thing. You know, so
I love that. It's like the timing. What I'm also getting is I like to use the word neurostyle, that we all process and perceive things in our own way. And when I think of you as little Bill in that moment, I also am like feeling like the excitement, like you're there with the camera and you're like, dun, 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 I've got this. Dun, 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 let's capture it. Dun, 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 boom. I mean, it's like exciting.
Well, you know, I was so proud of the photo, even at that age. And but my brother got really angry with me.
Did you get the cake thrown in your face?
Well, kind of. But that was, you know, it's just at that age, it's just instinctive. You know, it's just something. And I mean, Denise, we can talk about past lives and stuff like that later, but you know, you come into the world with various skills or aptitudes or lessons or, you know, to learn or whatever. And I firmly believe that I came into this world with an ability to see images and to tell stories. What happened shortly after that, when I was about 8 years old, I was searching through a cupboard in my house and I found at the back of this cupboard a manuscript that my father had written a short story. My father was a dentist, and he had written this short story, all typed out on, you know, individual pages. And I took this short story and I sat down and I read it. And it was kind of a turning point in my life. Like I say, I was about 8 years old at the time. And I thought, my goodness, somebody can actually write a story. I mean, it sounds such a simple, basic thing.
But I'm also feeling at that age when you found it and that it was your dad and you also knew he was a dentist, was it also, I know when we're kids, sometimes we have these ideas like a dog is a dog, a cat's a cat. Oh, my dad's a dentist. Mm. Oh, can my dad also write? So I'm getting that there was this aha moment of that, but it seemed like it was almost like a surprise about another, like, whoa, dad can do some, he can throw it down. He can write.
Well, it wasn't only that, Denise. I think even broader than that was the concept that, you know, you read a magazine or you read a newspaper or you read a book and you never really consider the mechanics of that, you know, that somebody has actually sat down at a typewriter and written that and thought about it and put those thoughts into words. You know, so I was sort of, I remember being absolutely kind of shocked, you know, that this was a process that was possible, you know, that somebody could actually do this, could you know, my father, yes, is a dentist, but even broader than that, that it was possible to take thoughts and to put them down on paper in a cogent form, you would hope so, and then provide those thoughts then to other people. You know, that was a kind of a breakthrough thing. And then shortly after that.
Yeah, I'm getting, by the way, when you're saying this, I'm getting aha moment. I'm getting magic moment. It was like, whoa, like something clicked for you.
It really did. And then I had glandular fever. I guess I was about 10 years old at that point. And I was, if I can use the term, quarantined at home for about three months. And so what did is I got my mother to go out and get what was called, at the time we called them all-day jotters. They were like this big, huge notebooks that you could buy from the stores. And some pencils, and I used that 3 months to write a story. And I was about 10 years old, and I wish I'd kept a copy of it. I mean, it was a story about a plane crashing in the jungles of New Guinea and the survivors cannibalizing each other.
Wow, it sounds very Lord of the Flies-ish.
Well,
have you read that book? Like, that's. Have you read the book? Yeah. Wow, that's pretty profound.
Well, it's, yeah, like I say, I really wish I had kept a copy of it because I'm sure I'd laugh my head off. But that was my first attempt at writing. Yeah.
You know, it's interesting now that you're saying that, and I think it's almost the same age. When I was in fourth grade, they used to have these like writing contests. And I remember getting so excited, going to the library, always checking out. Like, I always checked out the maximum amount of books. Like, if you could check out 23, I was, like, proud to walk out of the library. And at the time, I always had that mystery of, I think it was The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe. And so I don't have my book that I wrote that was really just... It's just fun when you think about, like, what was your imagination doing? So, okay, so you wrote your first story. Now, was that for you only, or did you share it with people, or what happened with that story?
No, it was just really for me only. Later on, I started winning writing contests at school, and, you know, I was never a terribly good athlete, and I was never a terribly good scholar. But the one thing that I was good at, it seemed anyway, was writing. Irrespective of that, because both my mother and father were dentists, when I finished my high school, my grades were good enough to get me into medical school. So I started off actually studying medicine. But my real love...
What a fun fact.
Say it again.
What a fun fact about Bill. All right. So you were in medical school?
I was in med school, yeah. But I hated biochemistry. I just couldn't wrap my head around biochemistry. And Denise, I talk about intuition. You know, I look back at my life now and I see major crossroads. What happened was this. I was in second year med. I had passed all my subjects except one subject, biochemistry. And I had to go back and I had to do an exam about 2 months after the exams had finished. I had to do a second, what we call a supplementary exam. I had to do a second test for biochemistry. Anyway, I was, at that point in my life, I was surfing. I was a mad surfer, and I'd actually been doing a lot of writing and photography for Surfing World magazine in Australia. I'd become their major correspondent. And the waves were good that day. The day that I had to sit for my supplementary exam, if I sat for that exam and I passed, then I'd pass second year and I'd continue on with med. If I failed that exam, then I'd fail med and I'd drop out. Anyway, I was on the Gold Coast. I had to be out of the car, sort of out of the water, in my car, driving back to the exam by 12 o'clock. 12 o'clock came. And one of those freaky things happened, like the wind dropped, it was slight offshore. For some strange reason, I was the only person out. This set of waves came through, they were absolutely perfect. And I remember I got out of the water at about 11:45. I walked up the beach to my car. I put my surfboard on the car, on the top of the car, on the racks. I looked down onto the back seat, and there were all my biochemistry textbooks. And I'd really studied hard for the exam. I knew I was going to pass the exam. And I just stood there for a moment and I looked at the textbooks and then I looked at the board on my car and then I looked out and there was this perfect set rolling through, slide offshore. I mean, it was just like it was a dream. No one out. And I went, bugger this. I'm going out surfing. And I blew off my medical course and I went surfing.
Oh, my goodness.
And I tell you what, my mom and dad were not happy. They were not happy. And I had
at
the best
time. At the time, besides like looking at the wave, I picture you like looking at the books, looking at the wave, looking at the books, looking at the wave. And did it at that moment, did it click? Were you kind of like, you know, I'm all in with another path? Or was it just really that the waves were calling you, or a little bit of both?
No, it was, I had never felt comfortable doing medicine. A lot of my friends, I went to a private school, and a lot of my friends were doing medicine. And because both my parents were dentists, it was kind of, whilst they never kind of forced me into medicine, it was sort of, it had always been, I would go into medicine or veterinary science, you know, one of those two. Possibly even law, but certainly that. But I never felt comfortable with it. And my love was writing. My love was photography.
Can I say something? I'm getting the spirit of, like, I just imagine you at that moment when you saw the perfect wave coming in, this sense of adventure, like the adventure of writing, the adventure of honoring that spirit. So That's a really amazing, like, aha moment. Do you have a picture from that day? That would be a cool one to have. The day the wave was so amazing.
Yeah, I have pictures of that period. But you know, Denise, when I look back on it, I do see it as being my intuition working, saying, no, this is a crossroad. You're going down the wrong path. You really do need to change course because this is not your path. And it was a very, very strong intuitive moment. I didn't realize that at the time. I didn't see it as that. I just thought, no, you know, there are other things that I prefer to be doing rather than sitting for medicine. I knew that I was blowing off the year. I knew I was blowing off, this potential career in medicine. But I just didn't feel comfortable with it, and now when I look back on my life and I can see other crossroads, other times when I've made similar kind of decisions, it was my intuition guiding me, sometimes in very tumultuous kind of ways, to jolt me out of a path that I had been on onto my true path.
I love that. And when I watched, we're going to jump, since we're full circle talking about intuition and the movie PGS Intuition, which might be a good time to give us a window into that movie and we can go back and can play however we want to in this interview. But I wrote down after, when I was watching it last night, I wrote down, stop, listen, trust, ask, follow. I'm going to say it again, everyone. Stop, listen, trust, ask, follow. And I think that's really profound. I know when we're kids growing up, we're taught stop, drop, and roll if we catch on fire. And so I like this stop, listen, trust, ask, follow being our own inner compass. And I think you and I, like when we go back, what comes to mind is the word awareness. That at the time, now when we all can look back at any different crucial aha or magical moments where we take a different path, we're now very fortunate to live at a time where we have a new vernacular, a new word choice, a new paradigm, what I like to call paradigm progression. And so I think that the movie, I'd love to talk about what got you to this particular PGS Intuition, amazing film. But I think that listening to your inner voice is so profound with health, wellness, any choice we make. And it's really interesting to think about what led you to that particular film. I don't know if you want to tell everyone a little bit about what inspired you. I know what inspired you, but it's pretty profound, and it's about listening to your inner voice.
Well, what happened? When I decided that I would go surfing instead of sitting for my biochemistry exam, I then went into hiding for a bit.
Where did you hide?
My mother and father weren't happy. But I decided that I would continue with university, study arts law, majoring in journalism and Mandarin Chinese. I had this crazy idea that I wanted to be the first Australian correspondent into Beijing. For the ABC. But anyway, so what happened was I spent 12 years as a working journalist, and then that led me into making documentaries. That led me then into making feature films. And I then continue to have a career making movies, thrillers, romantic comedies, that sort of thing. I was actually working in New Orleans it was 1999 on a thriller with amongst the cast was Burt Reynolds. And I was driving to the airport early one morning. Early in the production, I had to do a casting session out of L.A. I was driving to the airport. It was early before dawn. There were no cars on the road. I was running late. I had a green light up ahead in the intersection, and I went to accelerate because I didn't want to get caught on the red light. And as I went to accelerate, a voice said, slow down. This was weird. I'd never heard a voice before. I thought, I need more coffee. I went to accelerate again. The voice said a second time, slow down, more emphatically. And I thought, this is just too weird. I'm going to slow down. Something's going on here. And as I slowed down, a huge, massive truck ran a red light on a cross street, barreled through the intersection, narrowly missed me. If I hadn't slowed down, that truck would have hit me, would have killed me. And so I pulled up on the other side of the intersection. I was shaking. You know, it had been that close. I jammed on the brakes. I just narrowly missed the truck, or the truck had narrowly missed me. And three things came to me immediately. What was that voice? Where did it come from? And why did it save my life? And really, from that time on, it took me until 2000. It took me until 2014, so nearly 14 years then to make the film, because the image of this truck nearly hitting me, just it kept on haunting me, and and the voice, and I thought, what the bloody hell is that voice? Now, you got to understand, I'd come from parenting, which was very much evidence-based. You know, I grew up in a household where, you know, my mother and father didn't have any kind of, the thought of intuition or anything kind of metaphysical just wasn't on their radar at all. They were dentists. Everything was evidence-based. And in my 12 years as a journalist, that only ever reinforced that. So when correct. I started to look at intuition, I realized that if I was to do it properly, then I had to set aside any kind of, I guess what I'm saying is I couldn't make it balanced. I didn't want it to be like a BBC knowledge documentary or something like that, you know, something you'd see on TV. Right. I wanted it to be a personal exploration of what was it that saved my life. And to do that, to do it properly, I had to set aside all my prejudices, all my biases, all my preconceived ideas. I had to let go of all of that. And instead of thinking linearly, I had to think kind of locally, if you like. You know, I had to think in 5D rather than in 3D.
So Bill, when did you know that you needed to do that? Because that is insightful in itself. When did you know that? Because that's everyone, you know, we're talking about tabula rasa. We're talking about the only moment we have is now, but we're just experiencing it. That's a very profound paradigm. I like the word paradigm progression because it's open. But at the time, I'll use the word paradigm shift because it's more of a linear. So you're talking about the linear, the nonlinear. We're talking about material science and post-material. We're talking exactly. about Newtonian versus quantum. So, but exactly. you, in your own mind, your own paradigm of these show us the data, scientific method parents, linear, get the data. Yeah. When did you know that you needed to do the blank slate? How did you come to that awareness?
Well, it's really interesting, Denise, and it's a really, really good question. Because what happened was this. I couldn't get this bloody film up. I had been successful in making movies prior to this point and getting films made, getting them produced and made, but this one I couldn't. And I spent literally about 8 years going to film markets, talking to distributors, financiers, sales agents, the whole thing, developing treatments. I kept on getting knocked back, and I got to a point where I thought maybe the universe is telling me I shouldn't be making this film. Maybe the universe is telling me I'm not up to it, or, you know, that I'm not capable of making it. And certainly my wife, who's my partner and who is a much more spiritual person than me, she said, you can't make this film, but you don't know a thing about intuition. It's the wrong film for you to do. And normally she's been very supportive, but she wasn't supportive on this one, and that kind of threw me a bit. But I just had this very, very strong inner urge to do it. So anyway, I went to sleep one night, and I said to myself, all right, in the morning I'm going to make a decision. I can't keep pursuing this and knocking my head against brick walls and getting knockbacks all the time. I'm going to make a decision in the morning as to whether I should give it one last shot or just drop it and put it down to an interesting experiment and go back to making my regular movies, which were, you know, thrillers and romantic comedies and so forth. That night I had a dream, and it was a very, very clear dream, and it was a very specific dream, and the dream told me how to make this film. And it told me not to worry about the big budgets that I normally had for movies, not to worry about the big crews that I normally had, that I had to go out and basically self-finance it, do it on a nickel and dime kind of way, and just start it, but I had to do it. Anyway, I woke up almost like a cliche, you know, sort of boing, you know, springing up with my eyes wide open, you know, and this very, very clear message in the dream that came through, very, very clear message. I must make this movie this particular way, and it's got to be done now. And I looked across at the bedside clock, and it was 4:44 in the morning. Anyway, I didn't know much about numerology. I knew enough to know that that was weird, coming up out of this dream and it being 4:44. So I had my iPad by my bedside, and I Googled what does 4:44 mean. And up came a series of entries. I think Doreen Virtue was the first one. And essentially this is what I read. 444 is a very powerful angelic number telling you that right at this moment you are surrounded by your guides, your masters, your angels and your archangels, and they are urging you to move forward with your endeavor. And if you follow your inner wisdom and your inner guidance, they will protect you and lead you to great success. So, right. Okay, so I've just woken up out of this dream where I've had this very clear message. And then I see that it's 444. And then I read what 444 means. And I go, oh, my God, what am I going to do? Because I didn't believe in angels, archangels and spirit guides and stuff like that at that point. I do now, but I didn't then. But I knew instinctively, Denise, that it was going to be a turning point. You know, it was more than just a decision as to do I take this seriously, do I proceed with the film. It was a decision that was going to change my life, and I had to, I had to. I had to make a decision that I knew was going to have far-reaching consequences. So basically, what I figured was that.
Bill. I want to just kind of do a sacred discussion of this. So, you know, I've talked about, and we've talked, I have in my shows, and I know you have in what you do in your awareness now. I want to keep going. But the concept of no coincidences, only coincidences. But I want to take it one step further of getting the data of how, because we all have different levels of sensory awareness. We all process and perceive things in our own unique way. That's why I came up with the term neurostyle. So in this, I call this, I don't know if you like this. I want to try this on with you. I was discussing this with my other friends that are self-proclaimed universe geeks, the concept of time epoch. So there's this time epoch where it was a crucial, you made a decision. You were going to give yourself what's called a deadline. I'm making this decision. Then our dream state is when we're accessing infinite possibilities and awareness. And then you, who were taking, I would say, the scientific method and data, you were applying your linear approach the way you thought you needed to do movies. But for this particular sacred mission or divine or whatever you want, your own personal word choice, not mine, you were at this crossroads. And so in this time, you not only had the dream, you had set an intention to make a decision. You woke up, you paid attention. You then intuitively listen, let's look this up. And so I want everyone to know that that's a part of your own scientific method of understanding your own sensory awareness and your own inner voice. And you people can get things in numbers, songs, clear knowing. So I just like, I call it time epoch now. It's a new term I want to introduce. That's just something I came up with because it's a series of there are no coincidences, no coincidences. It's like a super synchronicity, as Gary Schwartz would say. So I feel like I just want to honor the next part of what you're going to say, but I wanted to kind of geek out because when people are trying to figure out, how do I do this? Some people are like, I want to be like Bill. I want to get the 444s. I just want to let everyone know that when you start just being open to all your own unique sensory awareness and pay attention to these unseen energy epochs, time epochs, feeling sensory awarenesses, that's where a lot of the magic in your own inner compass, you kind of further define your own unique compass.
Well, Denise, you're absolutely right. There is one step that I think you missed out on, though, and that is, and I didn't realize this till later, and that is you've got to ask. So I went to sleep asking. And what I've learned since is that spirit doesn't respond unless you ask. And
by the way, I'm getting lightning bolt chills, Bill. My sensory awareness, when it's a slam dunk, my all my arms and legs are going ding, 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 ding. You've got to ask. You've got to ask. Everyone, you've got to ask. Don't forget that.
Yeah. It's really, really true. And I am in my own way, not realizing, of course, but in my own fumbling way, I asked. I asked for help. I asked for guidance. And it came very clearly in that dream and then in the 444 and then what I read subsequently. And basically, whilst I didn't believe in archangels and angels and spirit guides and so forth, and I didn't believe in numerology, I just sat there and lay there in bed and thought, this is too weird for me not to pay attention to it. I have to play this out and see where it takes me. And so I went back to sleep. I woke up a few hours later. I booked tickets to India because that's where I figured that I needed to start to film on intuition. I went out and bought camera gear and sound gear and lighting gear and decided that I would shoot the damn thing myself. But then as soon as I – and this is another really interesting thing, Denise, and something that I've learned. Spirit will help you if you help yourself. You know, so
yes.
when I put into action the process of making the film, suddenly money came. People came and sought me out and said, I hear you're making this film. Would you like some money? And I ended up raising $1.5 million to make that film.
Ding, 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 ding. Fantastic.
$1.5 million. And that's how it worked. But what was really interesting was that at times I would get scared and I would doubt myself and I would doubt the process and I would go into fear and I would go back into my linear thinking. And as soon as I did that, everything stopped.
Yes. It's like we shut our own flow down. We break our own flow.
Exactly. But, you know, here's the other interesting thing. When I thought back on that period, I needed to stop because I needed to learn more about intuition. And Jennifer was absolutely right, my partner. You know, she said, you don't know enough to make this film. And it took me 5 years to learn enough to make the film. I didn't feel as though I could sit in a room with Carolyn Mace and ask cogent questions. You know, for quite some time. That's why I wanted to go to India first, because I wanted to learn about intuition from India before I then went to America, you know, and to sit in front of people like Carolyn and others and not just come across as being an absolute dolt.
No, so you use the intellectual process of gathering inner wisdom.
Yeah.
And did you enjoy the process?
Oh, it changed my life, Denise. I mean, it changed my life. I can't now go back to another way of thinking and working and living.
Yes.
It's not that I have any regrets about what I've done prior to that, because as we all know, you know, everything you've done leads you to the point where you're at right now.
Right.
And I would not be the person that I am now if I hadn't made all the mistakes that I'd made prior to now. But it's what it's done is I don't want to make these stupid movies anymore, you know, like romantic comedies and thrillers and stuff like that. You know, I
only now. By the way, I'm doing like the namaste hands because I, as a doctor, feel incredibly blessed because I integrate intuition and East meets West, and I, all the kind of inner truths and master knowledge, not only in Western medicine, but Eastern holistic health, I integrate that into my practice as a doctor. So that's like my linear way. But then everything I do that's creative is to honor the higher level of universe knowledge. And, you know, I went on my path of training in remote viewing. And so once you have a certain viewpoint, and if your mind's open to love never dies, energy existing eternally, the concept of, you know, past lives, once your mind gets open to that, it's like this unbelievable, it's the universe playground for me. It's not just the earth playground. And I don't know if that relates to you, or I just would love to hear your thoughts on that, how it sort of opens your mind to this infinite possibility and quest for even like always keeping an open mind as much as we can. I know we're still biased, but.
Yeah. You know, I try and have my brother is a vet. Now, you know, he's a very smart fellow and he's a lovely bloke. But I try and talk to him about channeling, for instance. I try and talk to him about the veil, about these concepts, and he just absolutely shuts down. Now, I can direct him to people like Paul Selig, James Van Praagh.
Right.
You know, people who I have been in their presence when they have made contact with the other side, and you can't make this stuff up. You know, they're not fakes. They're the real deal.
Yeah. So just so you know, my own form of being an intuitive, when I was rewatching the movie last night and I saw Paul channeling, I just asked the question because this resonates with me. And I think I'll go into a further deep dive with you off air on this, but I'll just tell you what I asked myself. And the first thing I got was, he's Pleiadian. I just got that. And then I stopped the movie and I went and I found out, yes, he's written about that. So that asking of the question and connecting with the data. And when you're putting someone like your brother, who's very linear, right, in that world, if you don't have an open mind, I'm not, by the way, I'm completely excited for everyone's own unique path. So meaning I've been in relationships where someone didn't believe, like I was off to go train in remote viewing and I came home with these spoons that were bent and he looked at me like I was cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs. And I had the quantum physics, I had the notebook, I wanted to show how I got all my remote viewing targets. And that person's mind, and by the way, I have compassion. They just know their world the way they know it. And so it's not my job to convince anyone, but it's like almost like exciting. Like you want to show and tell someone. You're like, I want to show you, right? So that's why, can I tell you, this is why I am so grateful to you that you did this movie. This movie, PGS Intuition, for me as a doctor, as an intuitive, as a universe seeker, as a, you know, creator, that movie, especially when someone like yourself was on the linear path of broadcast journalism, reporting, linear, and then you share a tangible example. It's more than the way you shot the, I don't want to give away the film too much, but I just want to say thank you for doing the film. Because it's really great for me. I like to, when I'm integrating things with my patients or with shows, say, oh, well, you need to go watch PGS Intuition, and this is why. And I don't tell people too much. If they're going to watch it, they're going to watch it. But it actually helps someone to see your curiosity path. And it's also a modeling. What I love about the film is it models that everyone can go on their own curious path and ask their questions. So I just want to really pause and say thank you for doing the film.
Oh, thanks for saying that, Denise. You know, look, number one, I was compelled to do it. I couldn't stop myself, even though my wife told me that I was an idiot trying.
By the way, did that get you more, like, that's for me, that's like a feisty little challenge. If someone tells me I can't do something, like, oh, I'm going to do it. So, I mean, I sense that not only did you follow your inner guidance, but you have that feistiness factor. So she probably sparked you somehow.
I have pointed out to her that in the past she's told me not to do a movie and that movie has gone on to great success. So I doubted her credibility. But look, it didn't come down to that. It came down to the fact that
that's fun. I love this. I want to meet your wife. Oh my gosh.
And I've got to say, we've been married now. This year, it'll be 40 years marriage.
Oh, congratulations. Cheers to you.
40 years marriage. So it's a long-standing relationship. But I just had this very, very strong urge, need, compulsion to do it. And I can't – it wasn't like I was trying to score points off my wife or anything like that. It was just like I really needed
to – I was being playful.
I know. And there is an element of it. I do – every now and again
I turn a little feisty factor
and say, hey, by the way, you told me not to do this movie. just to put her in a place.
I love it though. It's fun.
Yeah. But Denise, I'm an ordinary bloke. I'm just an ordinary bloke. I don't have any psychic skills. I don't have any kind of abilities or anything like that. I'm an ordinary bloke who, like you say, had a curiosity. Something happened to me and I wanted to find out what it was that what happened and why it happened and so forth. And I guess because I have gathered certain skills during 40 years of working life, I was able to put that into a form that was communicative. I was able to explore my curiosity in a manner that I was able to put into a form that other people then could follow and share. And that's a great privilege for me. It's a great privilege to be able to do that. And I'm doing the same thing with fear because I'm curious about fear and how fear works and so forth. So I think we talked off air. I want to do 5 films. I want to do Intuition I've done. Fear is partway through. I want to do a film called The Veil, which follows what happens to you once you die, once you go through the veil. I want to do a film on hope, and I want to do a film on purpose. Those 5 films, I think, will cover pretty much everything that is important in life. And if I can do that, then I'll die a happy man. Well, I won't die. I'll transition.
Oh. You know what? I wrote down your exact 5, right? Mm-hmm. And I have a fabulous 5, which we'll talk about when we have you on another show. But mm-hmm. when I looked at your 5, and the stages of death and dying, mm-hmm. I thought this is like the stages of like intuition and living. Your mm-hmm. 5. Intuition, fear, the veil, hope, and purpose. It's an ascension path. So I don't know, when did you come to that aha moment of the 5? How did that, just if you could give us a window into your logic meets intuition, meets creativity, meets here we go.
A funny thing, I was told by a Vedic astrologer in Mumbai that I had to go to Texas for me to make the film, and he told me that he gave me an exact date as to when I had to be in Texas, and he told me where in Texas I had to be. This is off a Vedic astrologer reading in Mumbai at the beginning of the film, and it was in about 4 months' time from when I had the reading. And so I looked at Jennifer and I said, yep, we're up for it. We'll go to Texas and we'll be in – he said, you've got to be in Dallas, Texas on this date for things to happen to you. So we said, all right, we'll do it. We'll pack up and we'll do it and we'll be in Texas on that day.
By the way, I'm smiling because every time I hear one of these situations – when you're off on one of the, I'm going to call it like Bill's adventures, I mm-hmm. literally go back now to the time when you looked out at the wave and you just have that surfboard. But I look at you, you get the information, then the excitement, then you've got the camera and you've got the gear. It's like, here we go. So it's like really exciting. It's like I can almost feel the excitement of all of it. Yeah. I'm calling it Bill's next wave. When school's next wave? Jen, come on. We're going to go on the next wave. Do you see the wave? We are going to Texas now. For this movie, PGS Intuition?
Yeah. This Vedic astrologer, this is not in the movie, by the way. I mean, and there's probably a separate movie just in us going to Texas and being there and what happened during that period. But basically, I met this holy man at a temple in Dallas, and I did an interview with him. And at the end of the interview, he said, by the way, you're not only making one film, you're making five films. And I said, what? And he said, yes, you're making five films. and he didn't delineate what the films were, but basically they were, as you said, they were following the ascension path. Anyway, I forgot all about it. I totally forgot that he had said that. And it was only a couple of years later that Jennifer reminded me that that's what this fellow had told me, that this is what I would do. It's interesting, isn't it?
Yeah, it is interesting. And I think because of the idea of creativity fueling the soul and how you've had your path, but then it bridges for me personally, listening to you, I love to take the scientific method with what I already know. So I've done what you've talked about. I've done, I do like almost like a yearly Vedic astrology checkup. I also have Akashic record readings and my own higher self and the Akashic records. Like, why are you here? You're already a master. I'm like, 'cause I have to get the data. It's like its own form of unseen energy. And a lot of times, everyone, you can't, when it's something in the future, this is one of the toughest things about unseen energy in different time epochs. You might be told something by someone in India or someone, but until it happens 3, 5, 10 years later, that's when the validation happens, the aha moment of synchronicity. And so that open-minded, there is a scientific method to unseen energy intuition. It just takes time to kind of, get the data reinforced, right? And, you were told the five films, but when did you think of those? My ask question for you is, when did you have the aha moment that it was those five topics?
I didn't really. It just was kind of, it's a funny thing, Denise. I mean, I can't really say that there was an epiphany or anything like that. It just kind of came to me.
So everyone, Bill's talking, wait, I need to say something. What everyone's talking about is clear knowing. I have clear knowing. So I know you said you're an ordinary bloke, and I want to joke about that. Like, okay, ordinary bloke with your clear knowing. I would beg to differ that we all have intuition. So I love that you're saying the ordinary bloke with humility, but you do have just clear knowings where you just see it. So I believe when we're connected to our own highest intention of heart and love wisdom, and we've got a passion, you have the clear knowing, and you're at this point where your inner compass, your intuition is just very clear. There's times when you just get intuitive downloads. It's just like, boom, there it is.
But Denise, look, I think what you said before is absolutely true. We all have this. We all have clear knowing. But I've got to the point where I trust it and I act on it.
Yes, yes.
And that's what differentiates me probably from a lot of other people.
Yes. And so I need to be academic here and just repeat what you did in the movie. Stop, listen, trust, ask, follow. Stop, listen, trust, ask, follow. That's very crucial, everyone.
Yeah, it really, really is. And, you talk to people and they say, oh, I'm not intuitive. I don't believe in that. I don't have any intuition at all. And I say, okay, so how long have you been married for? 27 years. Do you remember when you first met your wife? Oh, yeah, no, I remember that very, very distinctly. What did you think when you first met her, when you first saw her? Did you think she was the one? Oh, yeah, no, I knew immediately she was the one. And you don't call that intuition.
Correct. Correct.
It's like people don't acknowledge or realize that they have these very, very strong intuitive moments in their life that changes their life, and they don't put it down to intuition. But, I get that all the time. It comes back to those things, Denise, like we said, you've got to trust, you've got to ask, you've got to follow. You've got to act on it, because a lot of people will get to the point in their life where they go, all right, that's an intuitive insight. I understand that. I acknowledge it. I trust it. I have asked the question. I've been given this answer. But, oh, no, I'm not going to do anything about it because that's too scary. You know, and the whole process stops dead in the water then because they don't act on it. And the thing that I do is I have a direct correlation now. I act. I don't question. I trust absolutely, and I act on it. And I don't think twice about it. One of the things that came through the making of PGS was first thought, best thought. Your first thought is your best thought. It's your intuitive thought.
Yeah.
It's the thought that bypasses those logical, empirical synapses, yes, and it comes from your intuitive self. First thought, best thought. A lot of people have the first thought, but they don't then trust it and act on it.
I agree with you. So here we are. I'm so honored to spend this time with you. I'm wondering how people can find your movie, find you. And, you know, before we do that, I want to make sure there's anything else you wanted to add, because we can do other shows, but I feel like this is such a profound, you know, stop, listen, trust, ask, follow, you know, your own creative path. You've integrated your inner compass, your personal GPS at a whole new level. And I don't know about you, but it gets almost like every day is like even more exciting. It's like a roller coaster of fun. You're like, whoa.
Yeah. Well, you said it before, open your mind, you know, keep an open mind. A lot of people shut down, particularly as they get older, you know, they become very, very fixed in their views, and they become entrenched in their views. If you can just let go of your prejudices and your biases and all those things that you've been taught, and just ask the question, what if? I mean, what if there is life after death? What if there is a veil that some people can step through, like mystics and psychics? You know, what if there is such a thing as intuition and it is there to guide me? So if you ask that what if question and you let go all the fixed views that you have, a whole new world can open to you.
So can I give a tangible example of that? Because I do understand the universe in a very open way, that energy always exists. And one of my dear friends, Beverly Bergman, her beloved Ted's in the other realm. And Ted Bergman was a visionary and pioneer. You know, he was the producer of Three's Company. I'll send you a link about him so you can like really, he's just was an absolute visionary in television. And so I know my understanding of the universe when I'm at Bev's sacred, it's a sacred time when I go there because there's meditation. It's where she and I literally tell, like, we almost channel off each other. It's like really amazing. I asked Ted 2 years ago, I looked out and hit his property and I said, please allow me. I asked him to help me. Please help me find and trust my inner guidance of reaching as many people with da, 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 da. And so during the pandemic, for a lot of people, it's been a sad time. You know, of course, people are out of work, people are sick, but a lot of people have accessed another level of Renaissance awareness. And so I believe that we can ask questions from our ancestors and our whatever our own unique universal truths are with God, Buddha, Allah, all the ascended masters. And before I swim, I ask questions, I ask and call upon. And then that's where I get so many of my intuitive downloads where everyone's like, how do you get all this done? I'm like, well, time's timeless. If you ask the right questions, you can, it's almost like I know time is man-made in the earth realm, but in the multiverse and quantum field, there's no time.
Yeah.
And so if you're on that flow path, so like, let's say if you're an athlete, I want to relate this. Sometimes athletes are just in flow. They know the right move before they take the shot because they're using their sensory awareness of intuition. You know, there's CIA agents that they studied. This is why I went and trained in remote viewing, that they were wondering, why was this Joseph McMonagall never dying when he should have died so many different times out in the field? Well, he had his extrasensory perception like you do when you listen to your inner voice. And so when we are open to the possibility that, yes, I can pinch myself and say I'm here and I can feel myself. You can pinch yourself. But what if we have access to other levels of awareness and energy, and then we go on our own unique path of what that means to us? It's pretty amazing what you find out. And so I've been just enjoying the intellectual, spiritual, and then I've decided, Bill, personally, to stay as an MD while I'm doing all this producing and meeting, because it's actually making me a better doctor. And mm-hmm. I'm also so humbled by all that I learn and teaching other people how to access their being their own best friend. It's just a simple thing of happiness and flow. And trusting yourself is a big, big thing. If we could, can you imagine if we taught kids this? Stop, listen, trust, ask, follow from a young age? Because children, my own son, I believe to the best that I can say that I haven't shut down his intuition. So he's like, Mom, thank you so much for letting me be me. And sometimes, Bill, he'll say comments out of nowhere that are one-liners. And I'm like, I better listen to this kid, because he and I are very tuned into each other. And so I think this kind of extra sensory awareness, and back to the PGS intuition film, another reason why I'm so thankful that it's there, it's tangible. You went on a journey. You went on a scientific method. And it gives people maybe their own kind of motivation to ask the right questions. So I think it's fantastic.
Here's another what if, Denise. What if? Yeah, here's another.
Can I just be fun with you? Yeah. What if we get to ride another wave with Bill? What if? So go ahead, Bill.
here's a what if that changed my life. What if we are surrounded by angels and archangels? Okay, so let's just take that. What if right at this moment, sitting here, I am surrounded by angels and archangels, and they are listening and watching everything I do and say? Now, how would that change me as a human being if that were true? What would I do differently? What would I say differently? How would I react to people differently? Now, I've actually taken that what if very seriously.
By the way, I do too. When you're saying this right now, I'm envisioning dun 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 Bill, dun 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 Dr. Denise, dun 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 Coliseum, dun 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 Ancestral Wisdom, dun 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 God, Buddha, Jesus, Allah, ancestors are in the house where you're sitting there with all your peeps, and it's like a Game of Thrones excitement. So go ahead. I want to be sacred about this, but I really do. When you're just saying this, for me to finish off this Creative Mind series in 2021 interviewing you, and talking about this is my equivalent of the Universe Super Bowl.
Well, that's very, very, very kind of you. But I tell you something. You know, it's a really, really interesting thought. And if it's true, if at this moment, right at this moment, I am surrounded by, I have with me angels and archangels, and they are, if you like, monitoring me, they're surveilling me. they're stalking me, and
I'm getting chills. They're actually loving on you, just so you know. That's my perception. Keep going.
And I take these dudes pretty seriously, you know. I mean, they're not guys to mess with. And you know, suddenly, so my speech is, you know, I'm careful now about what I say. I'm careful about what I do. I'm careful about what I think, because they can actually get into my mind. You know, the clever buggers, they can get into my mind and they know what I'm thinking. And so I now have to kind of check myself and go, well, really, you know, I think my neighbor actually is a nice person, and I hate the fact that he throws his garbage into my yard, but, you know, I'm not going to say anything bad about him or whatever, you know. If you take seriously this notion that you are actually surrounded by spiritual beings, then it changes you as a person. It has with me anyway. Not all the time. Sometimes I slip, but, you know.
Yes, but I also want to say something that's really fun and playful. My understanding is that if we make the decision to reincarnate, if everyone, you know, everyone has their own level of awareness, but we're here having the human experience – there's also that imperfection, and that the other thing about Earth being, I call it, Earth is the playground and the battleground, and feelings, thoughts, and actions carry vibrational frequencies that are rocket fuel for ascension. So I love the fact that you're thinking about your team around you and what you're saying, but I also think it's fun to be human, and that you can have a little thought like that, and then you can shift it to, okay, well, I still want the best for them, but they better get their garbage off my lawn, because it's an energy. It's a feeling. You're allowed to be annoyed. You're allowed to use profanity. You're allowed to, if you have the greater good and the greater intention, we're still like, if we're fortunate to have this human experience, feelings rock, and things about Earth are not perfect. Right. Yeah. And that's where we can use that energy of consciousness and awareness to kind of be our own best self. But we're also allowed to we're allowed to have our thoughts. I just want to tell you that if you have occasional thoughts that you think are less than angel-like, it's okay, Bill.
I've failed a lot, you know. I haven't stepped up to the plate, you know, as much as I should have. But okay. It's kind of but some of the bigger kind of questions that you have about the way you live your life, I mean,
yes.
that's
Thank
a kind
you.
Of what if that you know, that can have an impact. And
yes.
the way you treat people. Like, I've got a very fractious relationship with my elder sister, and part of my challenge is, if not to mend that, perhaps it's beyond mending, but if not that, then to come to some kind of tacit agreement that within this lifetime it can't be mended, but there's an intention next time round to do better, you know.
I just want to we're here right at the, this is crucial because we're in this flow, and I know it's going a little longer, but this is really important. So the last show I did of the three seasons of the Ascension series, we called it Life Review. And what you're talking about right now, I feel like, is your awareness and your open-mindedness to energy still existing, and that all relationships are sacred and reverent. So even if we're not getting along with someone, how can we in our own mind have the highest level, even if it's not going to be mended in this lifetime? I would say to you, you could write a letter to her that you never send. You could have your own version of an altar. If you're putting your hand on your heart, this is for all of us, and sending someone loving energy and just even imagining it being healed, even if we can't, my understanding of the universe is it's already on its absolute path to healing. Even if in the linear Earth realm, you're not hanging out together, you're not getting together, there's levels of forgiveness of situations that we can do. We can still have our hope. We can still have all these feelings. And even if on paper, you're not looking like the happy brother and sister, this is just a great tangible example, you can send that kind of healing and forgiveness energy. And so I think that's also what you're talking about with your neighbor. I feel like, can you imagine, I guess I want to ask the question, can you imagine if we all held each other in sacred reverence? Can you imagine if we lived in an earth realm where people wanted each other to win? Can you imagine that people are just open to the possibility of love, whether you believe in the archangels, whether you believe in God, if it's just love, if this is the only lifetime you believe in, love is the highest, in my opinion, vibrational frequency. So what I'm getting is you have the humility of this journey, this adventure through film, through creativity, and through, you know, your own inner voice saving your life, to have a deeper appreciation for life. And to me, that is the gift. I don't know how much more gifted we can be when we have that level of appreciation.
Yeah. It's and then suddenly life becomes worth living. Suddenly every day is a joy. Every day is an adventure. And nothing can harm you. Nothing can harm you.
No, it's amazing. And so I'm really excited for your film, your next film to come out. So first of all, thank you for this time that we just shared.
Well, thank you for the opportunity.
Yeah, so much fun. And Where can everyone find you, and when can we expect? I'm not trying to put pressure on you, but what's a time frame for this next film?
Well, I need more money to finish the film, Denise. So if anybody's listening to this and they want to support me, just go on to my website, billbennett.com.au. AU is for Australia. That's my accent, if you hadn't already picked it up. billbennett.com.au, billbennett.com.au. And there's a contact page there. I'm hoping if the funds come, the film will be finished by September this coming year, 2022. And the funds will come because Spirit wants
to come.
Yeah.
They'll come for sure. And okay, fantastic. So we need the real earth dollars, which we know exist. No, it's exciting. And I did send it to some, so I will talk even more offline, but I just want to say thank you, because this quest, your journey and your parallel, I feel like it's a, you know, you're on your unique, amazing ascension journey, as am I, and as many of us are, hopefully. And I think it's exciting when we're bridging science meets spirit meets real life meets questions and curiosity. So thank you for also the way you film. Thank you for that. I don't want to say too much more. I just want people to go and get PGS Intuition now and just check out everything you're up to.
Denise, thank you. I can't begin to thank you for this opportunity. And on a personal level, it's great having a chat with you. It's really good fun.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun. Well, yeah. I want to thank you, and happy holidays for you. Do you celebrate Christmas?
We do celebrate
Christmas. Or is it all holidays? Merry Christmas and Happy New
Year. Yeah, in Australia, we... our big holiday period pretty much is from now through to the end of January. So that's how big, that's when people get, go swimming and get eaten by sharks, or go into the outback and get bitten by snakes, or go up north and get eaten by crocodiles.
I don't even know.
And lions, if they stay home, they
get, oh my, I don't know what even to say to that.
If they stay home, they get consumed by wildfires. So it's a fun time. In between all of that, we watch cricket.
Okay. Well, happy, safe holidays. And I hope you survive this holiday season so I can have you back on the show and we can figure out all the different ways to reach so many people with your film and your creativity. And thank you so much.
Thanks, Denise. Thank you.
Thank you.